aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis up for another day of broadcast excellence.
Yes, and before we get to the meaty stuff, we just have to clear one thing up.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz, yes. Friend of the show, says that he wants to deny all of the reports from all you reporters out there today who said that he was asking to be on the guest list for Nine Inch Nails, and that that's simply not his musical taste, so take that, even though the front man was reporting that, he...
Yeah,
put him on the list.
Just like he didn't click that video on Twitter.
It was an aid.
I understand the problem, though. I actually just wanted to watch the movie Nine Inch Nailed on my phone.
No.
And I accidentally clicked on tickets for Nine Inch Nails.
How did you bring it there?
Oh, but I gotta tell you, Nine Inch Nailed is a classic.
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
Oh, jeez.
You can borrow my copy if you need it, Senator.
You know that time when Brandon comes over to the house and there's a hot tub party? And his stepdaughter is taking a shower in the hot tub shower.
Well, and none of them have bathing suits for some reason.
They did in the beginning. How they lost them, I still don't understand.
Sorry I brought it up.
Right.
He also said he drank all the beer, and so he's not invited back. So there you go.
It's a classic, though.
I can't believe it. I can't believe that.
How does he stay so relevant in the news?
I know.
Why is he not wanted anywhere?
Have you noticed that he's only relevant accidentally? I mean,
right.
He's only relevant when it's really the stupidest
strange.
Of all things.
Very strange.
Yeah. It doesn't make a ton of sense.
And always inappropriate.
Yeah. It is. It's always something weird.
It just makes your skin crawl. He's involved in.
It is because it's all about whether or not he's hip. Almost every story about him is because he's just he's a geek.
He's a nerd trying to be cool,
right? But he's a nerd that isn't even like nerds are. Can be very likable,
sure,
right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, most are lovable and likable, and even in their sort of the shyness of the nerdiness principle,
it's like endearing.
So you want to just put your arms around him and say, "Hey, it's okay."
But like when
I do want to put my arms around them, yeah.
Like even the queso conversation, like how did he mess up a queso conversation?
He made it gross, and I love queso until that moment.
It was a cheese debate, right? With someone
cheese
from
debate.
Wisconsin.
And he just went off the rails
about
queso.
He went full cruise on queso.
Yeah.
I listened to a podcast called Cruise on Queso. It's just episodes of Ted Cruz talking queso.
Oh.
I actually kind of like this music because I thought this was in the Nine Inch Nailed movie.
Queso's made to be scooped up, dribbling down your chin onto your shirt, was what he said. And that's the day he ruined
all
queso.
All over your shirt. Get it all over. Dripping all over and let it dry. And then show it off to people. This is from my queso. This is one I did earlier. Look at this. It's all dried up on my shirt.
And then take it off. Take it over to the wash.
That's what Casey was doing. He was
washing the queso off her clothes.
That's
when
right.
The neighbor was over.
And he just has such beautiful stepdaughters.
Oh, jeez. And they're twins, aren't they?
All right. Let's move on. Michael Steele is going to join us coming up here in just a few minutes. He doesn't need to hear this.
He
knows Ted Cruz personally. And I can just say that, and we don't, and I can just say that he would find this very entertaining.
You think? Yeah. I bet he's got a story or two, probably none of which he'll share.
Yeah.
And maybe he would.
Yeah. Yeah. We could ask him. We could start off with that and then move our way to, did you see the low five shake between
the Crown Prince and Putin? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes.
It's the most disturbing image I've seen all year.
And
if you haven't seen it, you've got to look it up. They are smiling and grinning ear to ear as they do this brother, like kind of handshake greeting. And given even the situation of the global politics and Khashoggi and all the things going on, it makes you wonder, these guys don't know about optics?
Oh, no. What are they?
What is
they
going
don't
on?
Care about optics because they don't have, and especially now, neither of them have an active press that criticizes them,
which is exactly what they want.
Exactly.
But here they're on the world stage. It just
what do they care about the world press? They care about controlling their own people, and they don't give access to their own people of the world press either. So it's they're just sort of like, we're, you know, they're controlling the world. The question is, who's going to stand up for American values here? Is the American president going to stand up for American values? Or are the American people going to stand up for American values? Who's going to stop and say, hey, this killing a journalist and then dissolving his body in acid so that his family can't even bury him is not a forget about all the whole idea of this whole thing in the first place, right? And then poisoning people in other countries because they have been publicly critical of you, as Putin has done, trying to kill people's kids because the father has been critical of you.
Yeah, maybe they've compared notes on these subjects. I mean, it is obvious they're very close. You see this? Oh, it's the biggest smile you've ever seen on Putin's face, I think, ever.
It's
sick.
It's so scary. It's so sick. It's so wrong. And you know, where does it leave us as Americans? I mean, are we just going to give in to the real politic of the world and say, well, you know, we no longer stand by our values. This is the way the world really is. As the president said, it's a mean, tough place, and therefore we're just going to have to play by their rules. Or are we going to demand more? Because humanity wants more. Because only the leaders in the world think that this is a good idea. The people who are actually being abused by this do not, and that would be everybody in a country. If you're living in a corrupt kleptocracy like the Saudi Arabia is or Russia is, where only the powerful control everything and will kill you if you try to get in their way, and it's government enforced, that just doesn't seem right. And that's I'm not overstating that. No. That's absolutely what happens.
True.
All right, it's time now. On that happy note, to check in with Judy and find out what's happening at the bottom of the hour.
Everyone killed aboard a corporate jet that crashed on its way to Chicago.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago, 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Here he is.
You always sound like you're in such pain.
He is in such pain.
I know. I really am in such pain. And there's nothing. And you know what? You haven't helped for years. We've known each other a decade. And you have not helped me get out of the pain. There's nothing but pain. Hey, we wanted to ask you a question before we got started. Oh. Do you, how well would you say you know Ted Cruz?
Okay. Okay. Yeah, fairly well.
Yeah. Is it? Would you say that Ted Cruz is creepy or not creepy?
Oh,
in person.
Oh, not creepy.
Not creepy.
No?
Really? Why
no.
does he come
not
off so creepy? Do you think he comes off creepy?
I mean, it's like, you know, Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney, when he's on the public stage, is stiff as a board. When you're in a room with him, you're like, oh my God, who is this man? I mean, it's just completely. I mean,
totally
some of
different
politicians. Yeah, and they get in front of a crowd or on a stage, they come off a certain way because they either talk themselves into thinking that's what they need to do, or if someone have told them to believe that's what they need to do.
Yeah.
But no, Cruz has a great sense of humor. You know, you can talk to him about pretty much any freaking thing you want.
Except for queso. Never bring up queso again.
Right now.
Never.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, or porn on your phone, yeah. All right, let's move on to what's going on in the world. Did you happen to see this? I'm sorry, I have to seize on it. The video of the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia low-fiving and bro-hugging Vladimir Putin, both laughing and
huge
enjoying
grins
themselves.
On their faces.
I didn't see my tweet in response to that.
There should be a caption contest, and I'm going to look that up right now. But, I mean,
what
Michael
was your response?
Steele.
So my response was, oh, somebody's going to be jealous. I don't know if Donald Trump likes thing one and thing two having this much fun together. So that was me.
Thing one and thing two. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, doesn't this moment require us to stop and to take stock of what the American value system is and stand up for it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, because the club that we saw, that we witnessed doing the bromance thing, is a very unique club. You know, it's the murderer's club.
Right.
And it, you know, it's a very
special clientele, as they say, belong to that club. And, yeah, we do need to take stock. And the fact that Trump wants to be one of the bros between those two, to me, is just nothing short of disgusting. For him, of course, it's all transactional. So, you know, whether it is trying to, you know, build a mega complex in Moscow offering $50 million worth of, that's one hell of a suite, by the way, you know, to Putin, or just sort of brushing aside the killing of, you know, someone who lives in this country who is a U.S. resident. It's just, yeah, you know, so it's a very unique space. That was a weird moment to watch. They seemed to yuck it up, you know, knowing the cameras were on them. It was all for show to sort of basically say to the G20 crowd, up yours.
Right. Yeah. That's what we got came this. Off. That's
we're the new
exactly
leaders.
Exactly how it came
yeah.
across.
Right.
We're the new leaders. We got this, right?
We murder people, we get away with it, and there's nothing you can do.
Come on in, the water's warm. Is basically
right.
what they're trying to say to
with
the rest
blood.
Of the world, right?
And yeah, it's warm with blood, right?
And the and if you know you people in your Western democracies, you know,
we laugh
you know you're all falling apart, and you know that if you haven't fallen apart yet, we can make you fall apart at your next election. So
that's right.
Just
yeah.
step
right.
out of the way, and we got a guy who's and now we got a guy in the United States. He may not last all that much longer, but he's already
yeah.
opened
well,
the door.
We've got our puppet in place, and he's doing what he can do up to this point. We realize maybe that story could be ending soon, maybe not, but. You know, he's not going to get in our way. That's the deal. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, that is the deal. I'm not getting in your way. You can, if you want Ukraine, Putin, it's yours. If you want to kill journalists and chop them up into small bits, do it. As long as, you know, Jared gets his deal done, in finance or, you know, whatever other financial interests we may have in place. Because this idea, folks, that, oh, you know, we do so much business with Saudi Arabia, you know, we couldn't give up all those contracts. Yes, we can. When it involves killing someone, yeah, we can give up those contracts. And to your first question, what does it say about our values? Not a whole lot good.
Are we ever, let me put this in a more specific term. Are Republicans, is the Republican Party going to be able to, you're the former chairman of the Republican Party for the United States of America.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Can the Republican Party come back from this? Because the branding keeps tilting toward the you know, the Trump brand, which the Trump brand is not going to be seen maybe in a matter of months or certainly years as the best moment for Republican politics. So
yeah, but where are they going to go? They've already demonstrated that they don't want to go any particular distance away from Donald Trump. So where are they going to go? So they will be there when the walls cave in and the floor collapses. They will do everything in their power to hold those walls up and to replace those floorboards. So where are they going to go? And so the question of...
Well, what about those guys that stand up now? What about the Ben Sasses of the world? The people who they will vote with, but they stand up rhetorically.
Everybody can talk. Put a piece of legislation, put a resolution out there. Go public and say, no, I'm introducing a resolution today to do X, Y, and Z, to push back on the administration, to do this, that, and the other thing. I mean, it just... You know, playing the game. Well, I'm not going to vote for your judicial
judges,
nominees.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, thank you very much. And like McConnell yawns at that stuff.
Yeah.
What you need to do is use the legislative process to cause people total constipation. That's what you want. You just want to just shut it up and just lock it down and make it that much more difficult.
Yeah.
But they don't do that. So you know, I like Ben and I get guys like Ben, but you know, show me more than language. Give me action. Just get out there and say, here's the bill, here's the resolution, and use the machinery that you're a part of to do it. Yeah. Now, is McConnell going to hurt you? Probably, but. It's a bigger.
Maybe McConnell needs to grow up here too, because it's his party that is about to get run over here as more details come out over the next. As I like to say, this is the Robert Mueller Advent calendar. Every day another door is going to open.
I love that.
Yeah, you could go
the next
ahead.
Window. Next window to open has Jarrett's picture in it, so yes. That's very good.
That's what everyone's reporting today. So we'll see. All right, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you, Michael Steele. Right, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
You too. All right, talk to you. Bye.
All right, coming up right now, Judy Pilak has the WGN News.
The new North American Free Trade Agreement maintains stability for Canada's entire economy, stability that's essential for the millions of jobs and middle-class families across the country that rely on strong, reliable trading relationships with our closest neighbors. That's why I'm here today. There's much more work to do in lowering trade barriers and in fostering growth that benefits everyone.
All right, there's Justin Trudeau.
President said, fantastic for all.
It's great. Fabulous. It's called the... USMCA, not NAFTA, too. All right, the ambassador, former ambassador to Canada, is with us, Bruce Hayman, the honorable, or whatever. We just call you ambassador. All right, can you detail for us in this new agreement how this is going to affect the Illinois economy, the Midwest economy? Just give us a sense of is this better for us?
Okay, this may come as a surprise, but this deal isn't going to change things that much. And in fact, the president, I know he's going out and saying, I'm going to bring back all these plants and everything's going to, all these big, large paying jobs are going to come back. But this is just an update. Most of it is technical terms that were updated throughout the agreement. And the things that he put in there with regard to auto are backfiring, as we saw this week with General Motors. We can go into more detail on that. But
yeah.
The reality is that this is just a update of NAFTA with a new wrapper on it called USMCA. And so you can tell how much these three countries were in agreement in that they don't even have an agreement on what to call it. And so they're sitting there and the president and his team decided to call it USMCA. Mm-hmm. Thought that was great. Didn't have the A first, calls the USMC, and they're like, well, wait a minute, that's the Marine Corps, you can't do that. And it goes, okay, put an A on there. And then, they forgot to figure out Canadian and Mexican, at least Canadian law doesn't allow them to have the U.S. name first on a bilateral or trilateral
which
deal.
Which is why Trudeau called it modernizing NAFTA today.
Right,
he wouldn't refer to it.
The new NAFTA. And so... that's what it is. It's the new NAFTA. It's updated. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm glad we're getting this to this point, but it's going to have hurdles now in Congress and getting this passed. I think it will get done at the end of the day, but wow, we're going to have some challenges. And
it'll get done, but it won't get done under its current form, you think?
So here's the deal. First of all, I think our trade representative could have gotten this done in 2017 because he had the House and the Senate, both Republican, and mm-hmm. could have passed this quickly. Early 18, even Speaker Ryan was going, hey, guys, if you want to get this passed in 18 with this Congress, you got to get it done now. Didn't get it done. And so we're now pushing this now into 19 to get this done. What happens?
Where's the pushback going to be?
The pushback on this is probably more technical terms. So, for example, they sat down and said, how about $16 wages in Mexico for the manufacturing of these cars? And, okay, maybe that's good, but did you put in any escalation like 5 years from now or 10 years from now or 15 years from now?
Yeah.
And does it go up? The second thing they're going to have issues with are, okay, you put in all these things, but what's the enforcement mechanism? And so Nancy Pelosi's team was going enforcement, enforcement, enforcement. And the third, the biggest pushback is that we're still taxing the Canadians with tariffs on their steel and aluminum and on the basis of U.S. national security, which is absurd. And then the president said, well, we did this to get a good deal on NAFTA. Well, you got your deal. So why are you still taxing them? And I just think he has this backward thinking, like tariffs are good. Well, this is great. And they're not.
How about agriculture? That was one of the issues we discussed before, Bruce, when you were here, about how does this new agreement affect agriculture?
I think the new agreement is fine on agriculture, and it will continue. Again, there are updates. The challenge is that the taxation of and using these tariffs on steel and aluminum, the Canadians have retaliated. The tariffs they put on China, the Chinese have retaliated. And today, we have soybeans backing up in all of our farms. We have corn backing up in our farms. And so they're not, people are buying these products elsewhere in the world. And, you know, I don't think they're going to come back right away. So we've got a problem.
You do hear from farmers, though, that they would like, especially when it comes to China, not so much NAFTA, but China, mm-hmm. that, you know, let's go have this war with them. And we'll take some short-term hit to have a long-term victory in this. Are they right to think that?
Well, long-term victory, I would say that strategically China has taken advantage of us. They've taken our intellectual property. We've been forced to have state-owned enterprises as our partner going there, in which they then take over the business. It's a problem. But what we've done now is really ticked off all of our allies who we need. This, a fight with China is not going to be effective if we just do it alone. We're going to have to band together with our European allies and our North American allies. In the meantime, we're poking our friends at the same time. And now we're going to go ask them, hey, will you help us out with this China thing?
Okay. You have accompanied the President of the United States when you were the ambassador to Canada to conferences around the world, to important things where the diplomats arrange these things. G20 is certainly one of those moments here.
Right.
And the president has found himself, obviously there's, you know, it's been a rocky week here for the White House, given the news that's coming out about Michael Cohen and all of that. So that was right on his way out the door to go down to Argentina. There was important stuff that needed to be accomplished in Argentina, I'm assuming. We didn't really learn much about what was on the agenda for the United States at the G20. Most of the reporting was about whether or not he was going to meet with Putin, whether or not he was going to meet with Xi from China, and whether or not he was going to meet with the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. And then what we just saw was the president saying, went on it, literally wheels up, plus 20, he said that he wasn't going to meet with Putin. So, and he already had previously said he was not going to meet with the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. Now, today, you saw the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia and Putin bro hug each other, laughing for the cameras. Like, hey, look at us. And we just had Michael Steele on, the former head of the RNC, who said, you know, they did that very intentionally to say, we're in charge now. Would you agree with that summation? What do you make of this?
It was disgusting. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, I got a pit in my stomach looking at that. They're basically laughing at the United States. And they're, you know, these two guys are, they're two countries have made people disappear, and in not in good ways. They control the oil markets, while the U.S. is big, and we're one of the largest. We consume most of what we make. The Saudis and the Russians, they sell oil to the world. Okay, so this is a power move by these two guys, and I think that, you know, the behavior appears like we Trump, we own you, and so it you know, whether they do or not. They gave the message to the world with that high five, look at us, bromance, you know, kind of move. And this, you know, it's you know, we've given up. This is our mantle. This is the United States mantle. Mm-hmm. We own this. And to abdicate that to, you know, MBS and Putin? Are you serious? I mean, you know, of all people, we're going to abdicate leadership in the world too. And that's basically what they were saying.
It's very unsettling just to look at it, isn't it? Just so unsettling in light of the Khashoggi murder, in light of what's going on in Ukraine, in light of the things that are happening, that they would have this celebratory mood and knew the cameras were rolling.
Oh,
and I mean, this is a
purposeful.
Clear message to the world they're sending when they do that.
It's also scary because you stop as an American. You always thought, well, at least we have we've got the military. We're the United States of America, so they can't really touch us. You know, we will fight them. But if we are, and we do, we still have all of those assets to try to lever, not necessarily go to war with, but lever them economically, lever them militarily, lever them in you know, in ways that we have always had the upper hand, at least since 1945, right? Now, I don't think there's a will to do that. That's what worries me. There isn't somebody at the top who's saying, you know, this is what we got to do. We got to step up. We're not going to take this, because this not only puts the is an existential threat to the United States as we know it, but it is a very existential threat to our values. And if we give up on our values, then what are we? And, you know, the argument could be made, well, we've always been transactional because we put up with the Saudis before. We've done other things with the Russians before because we didn't want to mess with them. And we end up coming up with deals. So, but we've always at least said, and people say, well, that's hypocritical. You were saying one thing, but you were doing something else. Mm-hmm. Not to even say it anymore seems like like there isn't any hope left.
Look, we're not using our language, we're not using our resources, and while we have this military, that's always the last resort. The power that we have is the international banking system and the reliance on the dollar. And, you know, by shutting these guys off and turning off their access to the United States financial system really crushes them. And that's the whole point on sanctions on Russia, sanctions for taking Crimea. But I'll tell you, from everybody I have talked to, they are amassing troops on the Ukrainian border, and they are testing us. And the test is, look, I'm not saying we should send troops to the Ukraine. I mean, just, you know, first of all, they're not part of NATO. And second of all, they're, you know, geographically, that probably doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But we do have the ability to push him back pretty significantly financially and squeeze him to the point where he'll know that that pain is not worth him adventuring into another country. By not doing this now and saying, oh my gosh, he's a good guy and thumbs up and all of this stuff. Look, I don't know how truthful the last few days are about, you know, the business dealings and so forth. And I think we'll all find out in time. Mm-hmm. But if he's making decisions based on his family's finances, then we're in trouble with Russia and Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I think even before that, we're already in trouble. Even if Michael Cohen is lying about lying, which even Fox News had a guy on who said, nobody lies about lying.
I know, I saw
this
that.
This is not...
It's the one thing you don't lie about, right. If you're a really prolific liar. You don't lie about lying.
If you lied, you just lie. And then if you lie the first time, you don't go, hey, I lied the first time. And then lie about that, which
By the
is
way,
what.
And I plead guilty to lying the first time. Now, why would you plead guilty in a courtroom to lying the first time? You know, I'm just lying here.
Yeah,
you know.
I'm lying now. I wasn't lying then. I mean, I'm lying. I'm not lying now. I was lying then. I don't. I don't understand. But anyway, you know what?
Hey, did you catch Nancy Pelosi's comment today? When they asked her about the trade agreement, and she said, you know, they were talking about whatever name it is, right? So is it the new NAFTA? Is it USMCA? And she said, oh, that trade agreement formerly known as PRINCE. And it was a clever take.
You know, that's your assessment, that it was a clever take.
Yeah.
She should leave the comedy to the professionals. Her big job right now is to try to get elected speaker and then keep all the comedy to herself. I don't like it when 80-year-olds do comedy and they try to be hip. Oh, I just don't like it.
Just Jerry leave Seinfeld, it to the radio guys to do the comedy.
The youngins, the youngins in their mid-50s like myself. Yeah. All right, hold on. Don't anybody move. Ambassador, thank you so much for being
Thanks,
with
Ambassador
us.
Heyman.
Really
Pleasure.
Great. Thank you, sir. All right, let's check in now with Judy. Find out what's coming up at the top of the hour.
Professor Rahm Emanuel?
God. I'd hate to be late for his class.
Right. Or even take his class.
I feel like he'd be a stickler.
The Bears, they've won 5 in a row, so Hall of Famer Dan Hampton will join the Steve Cochran Show Monday morning at 7:10 to hopefully be recapping a Bears victory over the Giants.
Sweet Lou Canellis is going to join us at 4:40.
Yes.
He's going to recap himself and think about things.
And talk about how Trubisky's doubtful.
Now, Kev, Trubisky is doubtful, right?
Doubtful, yeah. Doubtful. It's looking like Chase Daniel for the second straight week.
Oh, man.
So that's not that big of a surprise. The one that did pop up this week, Akeem Hicks. That's significant against a running back like Saquon Barkley, although the Giants don't have the best offensive line, so he's questionable.
But Saquon Barkley gets outside, I've noticed.
Yes, you got to keep him inside the tackles. He gets dangerous when he gets an open space.
Yeah, that's the key right there. So I don't...
Mitch likely out. In Chase, we trust, I guess, for the second straight week.
What about, is Akeem Hicks out? Do we know?
Questionable.
Questionable.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's got a...
What's going on with him?
He's got an Achilles.
Achilles issue, yes.
See, the Achilles tendon, no one needs that. Yeah. Right? No. Who needs that?
Overrated.
That doesn't sound like a problem.
A couple other significant ones as well. Sherrick McManus, their special teams stud, is doubtful. So is Benny Cunningham, also a special teams guy.
Although, you know, with Benny Cunningham out, you know, they put Tariq Cohen back in kickoff.
Right. Well, Cunningham's more of, he hasn't been returning the balls lately, but on coverage, he's been making some plays. Bilal Nichols, who would fill in for Hicks, also questionable as well. So he's dealing with a knee injury. Yeah. So they're all banged up this week for the Bears.
Can we take the week off? Is that right?
That would be nice. That would be nice. This is not going to be an easy game, though.
No, it is not now.
Giants have been pretty much every game they've played, and they've been close, except for one against the Eagles earlier in the year. But other than that, they've
except for nine of them that they've lost, right? I mean, the exception of that.
Yeah, 3-8.
About eight that they've lost.
Yeah. 7 of the 8, they've been fairly competitive.
Okay. All right. That's all right. Yeah. All right, we'll figure it out. Don't worry. I'm not completely freaked out at the moment. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. Sweet Lou will be here. No. Tom Skilling is going to join us coming up right after Judy's news at the top of the hour because he has thoughts on what has happened in Alaska today. I don't know if you saw this story. 7.0 earthquake in Alaska with dozens of aftershocks over 5.0. They're saying a lot of structural damage done in Anchorage. And Tom will give us, he's been talking to people there all day, and he'll talk to us about that. Judy's news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2.
This is The Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis, and we are turning our attention to Tom Skilling right now. I know he's a busy man because you've been weighing in on the horrifying thing in Anchorage, Alaska, where I know you're a frequent visitor up in those parts, and really quite a quake there today.
Quite a quake. I've talked to folks up there, talked in particular to a friend of mine who does afternoon drive radio on KENI, which is one of the 50,000-watt talk stations there, Mike Picaro. And Mike said he and his wife were shaken. They live in Anchorage. They said this seemed to go on forever, but there's been serious damage to the roads up there. The Seward Highway, which is, for folks who have been up there, is the highway you take south from Anchorage, is closed by rock slides. And they had that big Good Friday earthquake back in 1964, mm-hmm. which unleashed a slew of tsunamis. We were up there and actually talked to some folks who lived through that, including a woman who's now grown, but she was on the precipice of her prom the night that thing hit, and it hit about 4:20 in the evening, took out the whole town of Seward, which is where she lived, and they just had one tsunami after the other, and the big oil tanks there flipped and burned.
Oh my gosh.
They say there's very serious damage, and what happened in the 64 quake is the whole downtown area, or one of the major parts of the downtown area, underwent liquefaction, which is where the ground loses its consistency and turns to almost liquid, and buildings and structures and all sink into it. And that looks like it's what's happened to some of the off-ramps that we're seeing pictures from, which are down in the International Airport area, which was shut down for a while. They've opened it up again. They say there's no structural damage to the airport, but they had water mains break. Mm-hmm. But there is structural damage, and the amazing thing you see in these earthquakes is how selective the damage is. One area, the little place where I go is south of Anchorage, and we're told all the drawers in the place were open, but none of the windows broke, but some of our neighbors had broken windows up there, and that's 40 miles south of the town. Mm-hmm. The USGS stuff,
now,
stats.
What people were saying, though, let me just jump to the experience that people were having, that there was also an earthquake, was it in January of this year there as well?
Well, you know, Alaska has about 500 to 700 earthquakes a year. It's a very active area. That's a subduction zone where the Pacific plate folds under the North American plate, and that's what created Mount Denali up there and the Alaska Range and the other mountain ranges there. But,
this one was actually seismically, you know, on the Richter scale, less than the one that was in January, but it was at a different depth, and that's what really creates the problem.
It's true.
For the tsunami.
Yeah, the 64 quake was...
Or even just the trembling that happens up at the surface.
Absolutely.
The people who survived this today are all saying this is the worst one they've been through.
Sure it is.
Well, there were also eight confirmed aftershocks, one of them a 5.8. So you saw all that video of people huddled under their desks as they were, you know, just terrified, I can imagine.
Well, here's what the Alaska Volcano Center says. They say they'll probably see up to 2,000 aftershocks now. There's a 4% chance there'll be another one that's a 7 Richter scale intensity, which equals what we've had. But there's a 27% chance that among these aftershocks, there'll be a 6, and a 78% chance that there'll be 5 or greater, which are respectable quakes. I've been through 2 5.4s.
There, in air quotes?
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting. One woke me up in the middle of the night, and you feel like it sounds like a snowplow is going by. And, of course, they've got mountains with snow in it. And I went into the Weather Service office the day after that thing struck, and they said, had that gone on another 30 seconds, the avalanches would have started. Now, they rebuilt some of the roads south of Anchorage away from the mountains, so they're not as avalanche-prone, but they closed it because of rock slides that come down with that. So that
I want to play some audio here for you.
Yeah.
I think it's really amazing. This is from the Ted Stevens Airport, International Airport in Anchorage, as this was just happening. It went on for over a minute, right?
A minute and a half, I guess, is what they're saying, yeah.
Which is a long, long, long time.
A long time.
In this kind of a situation. And this is the air traffic control tower telling a plane to go around.
Wow.
Is that the FedEx? FedEx 49.
FedEx 49, heavy, go around.
Going around, FedEx 49.
Sure, Cap, there was an earthquake here.
Aircraft, we're evacuating the TRACON for an earthquake, and everybody's standby.
Wow.
Wow.
Now that sounds...
Wow.
As you're a passenger on one of those planes.
I know. Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people think Alaska, there aren't many people affected. There, according to USGS calculations, 384,000 people have been impacted by this, and 336,500 of those were actually impacted by what to them would seem like a very strong quake. And it hit at 8:29 this morning Alaska time, which is 11:29 our time here in Chicago. So, and the Alaska governor, Bill Walker's, put out a disaster declaration. I guess Elmendorf Richardson Air Force Army base, the combined base up there, has been damaged. And, you know, they fly a lot of the jet fighters out of there.
That's a big, big base. They do.
Yeah.
That base is critically important to what they call the strategic polar system up there, where they're constantly flying around. That's part of NORAD and all that. That's a big deal. And so when you see interception of Russian planes, Russian bombers, it's coming out of Elmendorf.
That's absolutely right. You know what else they do, Ro, up there is the Air National Guard up there is located on that base. And in effect, the governor's announced that'll be the staging area for rescue operations. And, you know, I hear people saying, well, no injuries or deaths yet. It's like, concluding right after a hurricane that nothing's going to happen. It's going to take days before they figure out whether anybody's been hurt by this or, you know, if so, what kind of numbers there are in this.
Right.
Right. When you look at the video of their destruction there, those highways just being torn apart with those gaping holes and cars on little islands, and it's remarkable. I guess we haven't heard more about deaths so far.
Well, you know, and you figure 8:29 in the morning, it's dark up there at this time of the year. But what's interesting, people were on their way to work, and, you know, kids were in school.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, you know, that's a terrible time of the day for something like that to happen.
Oh, man, they were talking to these teachers, and there's video, obviously there's CCTV video that's now coming available of schools and other places where including a TV newsroom where they were on the air.
KGVA,
right?
It was destroyed.
And it was very violent. And again, this happens to, you know, there's kind of a combination because the Richter scale number doesn't tell the whole story.
No.
Because the Richter scale number only tells you about, you know, that one metric, that one parameter
right.
that they're looking at. At depth, and also based on soil and what kind of an area you're in, you can have this incredible reaction at the surface with a 7.0 in one area that you would not necessarily get in another.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, I talked to one of my neighbors up there who had been through the 64 quake. He was stationed at Elmendorf at the time. He was in a Quonset hut. They were laying in their bunks. And he said, you could hear this thing rumble in through the valleys. And he said, I'm sitting there. He said, it shook so bad, you couldn't even stand up. Now, that quake was a 9.3, and it remains to this day the biggest earthquake ever to occur in this hemisphere. But he said, if I'd wanted to stand up, I couldn't have. And he said he was watching the floor as this thing came in of his Quonset hut, which is, you know, concrete. Mm-hmm. And he said a wave that was 2 to 3 feet high propagated wow. the length of the Quonset hut as this thing came in.
Wow.
The shockwave hit. Man. So it's... These are scary things. And, you know, they use gas up there a lot. The thing that really scares me, they're supposed to have shutoffs on all these gas mains.
Natural gas, yeah.
Yeah. But you're afraid that, you know, some of those will rupture and they ignite, and then you'll get fires. I don't know whether that's happened in this case, but you worry about that.
Yeah. It's a, you know, we're thinking very much about what's happened there up in Alaska, because it should also make people aware of the need for disaster preparedness everywhere
Absolutely.
Else, right? I mean, this is the kind of thing that, and luckily there's a lot of military up there. There's a lot of
there is,
and a lot of former military live up there, stayed up there.
Yep.
So that I think is particularly good in a situation like this. So we'll see.
Just quickly, have you talked to your friends or neighbors over there?
I have.
And are they just sort of freaked out by this?
Oh, you know, you hear it in their voices. You know, this clearly was something far different than anybody's encountered up there. You think you go back to 64 for the last really big one. Rose, you pointed out too, you're right, certain areas will be hit harder than other areas. It depends a lot on what the, you know, soil and the makeup of the crust of the earth is underneath
right.
you.
Yeah.
So it's,
and this
it's
being kind of 20 miles deep is different than it's actually worse at 20 than it would be at 10 and worse than it would be at 70. You know, it's like it's a weird, it's kind of in the sweet zone for creating maximum amount of turbulence on the surface. At least that's what the experts are saying.
Yes.
All right, very quickly for this weekend, bad day tomorrow, right?
Yeah, we've got quite a storm coming in. Wind, rain, even some thunder possible. And we're talking about an inch, perhaps an inch and a quarter of rain as a general proposition. And that plus melting snow could have some standing water and all, but the winds later tonight and tomorrow are really going to pick up, and so this is going to churn the lake. By mid-morning and late morning, there ought to be 6 to 9 foot waves coming in. Now, the one good thing is the thing's flying along, and the winds will turn southwest late tomorrow night, so that cuts down on the wave action. It won't be as long-term as the thing we had with the blizzard earlier this week, but we could warm to the mid-40s by midnight tomorrow night. It'll be cold during the day because the wind will come off the water in the city, but the southwest wind locks in tomorrow night, cuts off the lake cooling, so the temps will actually rise to their highest tomorrow night at midnight and settle back to 40 by Sunday morning.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
Guys, thanks, Tom. Good to talk to you. Sorry, I'm abbreviated here.
Totally
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Busy day for sure.
I will talk to you Monday.
See you, guys.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Let's find out from Judy what's happening in the WGN newsroom at the bottom of the hour.
What happened when an earthquake hit an Anchorage operating room?
Ow.
It's all good.
Oh, okay. Violetta.
Hey, Bears fans, enter for your chance to win 2 spots on the all-inclusive Bears fan trip to Cancun. ChicagoTribune.com/monster giveaway, courtesy of the Chicago Tribune.
You want to join us for the first Rowell at Dirty Nelly's a week from today, brought to you by New Balance Chicago. Do you?
Hang all the mistletoe, I'm gonna get to know you better.
I know you do.
This Christmas.
Go to WGNRadio.com/events and you can register. Ides of March are going to be there. Carnival Wagon. Tom Skilling. You never get to see Tom Skilling anywhere. Hold
you
on.
Don't.
This is the best part. Here we go. This is right here.
We're caroling through the night. And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas.
Remember, All babies born
during Christmas time, it's to that song.
No, all babies made during Christmas time, it's that to that song. Please name the babies after me in September, is what I'm saying.
Row.
That's what I'm suggesting.
Or Roel.
We need more Rows out there. Yeah. Not enough Rows.
Really aren't enough. We have Roquan, which sort of a, you know, a, sort of a
Kim
mm-hmm. building on your name.
Granddaughter is Roin.
Okay. We got a Roin. Right.
It's a girl.
Right.
Was she
That's
born?
Okay.
Around that time?
She was
made during that time?
I believe that my mother wanted me to be a girl, and that's why she named me Ro. I think that is exactly what happened there.
You can't really say your name without saying Con. Like, I still call you Rokon.
My mom goes, the Rokon? Yeah. How's the Rokon? I go, it's Ro.
I know.
Mom, it's not one name.
It doesn't matter.
The Rokon?
It's fine.
You always hear Rokon. When people see you on the street, that's what they
How's
when
Deborah Kahn doing?
It's See, now that Roquan is here, though, he's kind of ruining my act.
Yeah, he's stealing it from you.
Yeah, it's kind of bothering me just slightly. Anyway, this is all a benefit for Toys for Tots, the United States Marine Corps Reserve Toys for Tots. Please, if you come to the show, bring an unwrapped toy for a boy or a girl. Specifically, if you're looking for a suggestion, boys 6 to 9 years old is what they're looking for. They have a fewer of those this year than they have of others, so that's
there's always a special area of need. I picked up some Legos yesterday because I thought that would fit that.
I got a couple
category.
Footballs.
Oh, cool.
Football's nice. Yeah. I bought him a couple Yugos. That's
have fun, kids.
Right.
Yeah, that's people want it.
I'm going to get him some books.
That's good of you, Judy.
No, I'm kidding. They don't want
Just don't get clothes. Well, I guess clothes are okay.
If you are there, you could register to win. Listen to this. Blackhawks painting by Elliot Fromm, $100 New Balance Chicago gift card, pair of tickets, the opening performance of A Bronx Tale, courtesy of Broadway in Chicago, a gift set from LUVArtShoes.com. Plus, there's going to be food from Sweet Alley's and Morcus Chocolates.
Did you mention Santa?
Never Measure's going to... I'm getting there. Never Measure's going to be there. Lou Malnati's is going to be there. Right?
Love that.
It's all going to be great. And Santa.
How nice.
And a guy who thinks he's Santa.
I don't know why
Santa
he's showing
Claus.
Up.
I love Santa.
Presented by New Balance Chicago, locations in Lincoln Park, Oak Brook Terrace, Roland Park, and Schaumburg, and brought to us by Apple Chevrolet, Architect of Chicagoland and Hilton's of Chicago.
A week from today.
Yeah.
It's going to be a blast.
That's big. Big.
Huge.
Big. Couldn't be bigger.
Totally fun.
Yeah. All right. Judy Pilak's got the WGN News being brought to you by Lindeman Chimney and Fireplace. There he is.
Sweet Lou.
Step into the studio with us. If it's Friday, and if it's a Bears Friday, Sweet Lou is going to be here, and he's going to explain a few things to us, and then we're going to try to make a little money before the show is all set and done.
Great.
Holiday time. I need it.
Yeah. Babies need a new pair of shoes. All right, let's... I'm nervous now. I got nervous. I got to be nervous because this is the kind of game, this is the kind of team, the New York Giants, that as the Bears are really thinking about the clash of all clashes in the NFC the following week against the LA Rams, especially now that New Orleans
lost
last night. And they lost to, you know, it seemed like a middling Dallas team, but they've gotten better.
Yeah, they're catching their stride, and their defense is pretty darn good.
Yeah. But they don't have a defense like the Bears have. And so now that New Orleans is, you know, seems a little bit, you know, human, because they've seen superhuman. LA seems totally superhuman, right? We saw them in the greatest primetime regular season game of all times 2 weeks ago.
It was nuts.
Where are we here? Should I be nervous?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think you become nervous because I think part of Ro just can't even believe the Bears have gone on this roll. I mean,
you
at
know
the beginning
that's
of the
true.
Year, you looked at me like I had three heads when I said 8 wins minimally.
Yeah.
What's the record, by the way, right now?
8-3.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. So I understand.
I went to 9-7. I do want to get credit for going to 9. Maybe I did. I go to 10-6. Can you check that?
I don't think so. I think that Brian should pull the tape because I don't remember
anyone. We've got
anyone.
That somewhere. We'll find out.
All right, go ahead.
There's a lot of us.
I'm happy I'm wrong.
Kool-Aid
I'm happy
now.
I'm wrong.
So I don't think you should be nervous because that defense is so darn good. It's just so darn good. It's arguably the best in the NFL right now. It's right up there. And don't diminish what Dallas did last night. Because going into that game, I knew their defense under Rod Marinelli, who used to be here in Chicago, was starting to
what's the phrase I'm looking for, starting to get on a roll, starting to feel comfortable together.
Yeah.
And then we saw it last time. I mean, what they did to Drew Brees in that offense hadn't been done.
I haven't seen Brees look like that in a long time.
Yeah,
Drew Brees looks like a rookie quarterback out there.
So I don't feel bad. I'm really not worried. And even though Mitchell Trubisky, for those of you just tuning in, aren't aware of it, I know Kevin's been updating you guys with the sports updates, but he's doubtful for the game. I could have told you that last week. I think I did the last time I was on the radio show with you guys. I said, don't be surprised if Trubisky sits the Giants game. And a lot of that is because the Giants are 3-8. To me, what I thought was best coming out of today's practice was that he finally threw the football.
Yes.
Doctors allowed him to throw the football. So that makes me feel good because I started to worry, wow, if he's not playing this week and hasn't thrown the football at practice on Tuesday and Wednesday, and if he doesn't on Wednesday and Thursday, excuse me, and he doesn't on Friday, is he going to play next week against
the
Rams?
Have two games in a row, and it's throwing shoulder, which is concerning to everybody.
Big deal.
But then he said today, he's like, it's not going to affect me long term, and nothing to worry
about. And I believe him. I believe he'll be back yesterday.
I'm more than happy to give him up for Sunday if he can make the Rams game.
100%.
And you got to believe in this training staff. I mean, look what they did with Khalil Mack, who's looked 100% since missing 2 weeks. They handled that perfectly. Look what they've done with Allen Robinson, who was dealing with a groin injury. He missed a couple games, and he's looked just fine since he came back.
You can do things like this, guys, when your defense is that good.
So gives you this luxury.
And we forget, folks, this was a top 10 defense last year without Khalil Mack.
Yeah. What about Akeem Hicks, though?
He's back. He practiced in full today.
You think he's going to be?
He's got an Achilles tendon issue, but he practiced in full. He's okay. Well, I'd be shocked. He's questionable for the game. I'd be shocked if Hicks didn't play Sunday.
He's needed, though, because I was doing some scouting. I got the clicker app.
The old All-22 NFL Game Pass.
Yep, I did.
Earl's got a chalkboard in his basement.
Right, so he paces around.
Yelling at an imaginary team.
His pencil behind the ear.
We don't quit unless it's cable.
Give me everything you got.
I was watching New York, you know, the Giants. It's been a really rough football year for New York, right?
Two years now in a row.
And the Giants have really looked bad. But after, you know, they won two games after the halfway mark, and they were on a roll. They lost, you know, this last Sunday. But they have really good weapons, and it worries me. I mean, Eli, I think, has lost not just a step, but he's lost some zip in the past.
Ironically, statistically, he's having the best season of his career.
What?
Yeah. But go ahead. He's not able to do the things that he was able to do 3, 4, 5 years ago. So I'm talking about improvise on the football field.
Scare
come
you
up
on a
with
drive.
A big touchdown when you need it.
Doesn't scare you on a drive. And you saw that on Sunday. I mean, that's what they failed on the final drive. But Saquon Barkley is, you know, arguably, you know, the next Ezekiel Elliott, right? If not better.
Top three running backs in the league.
Yeah.
For sure. And that worries me a little bit. It really does. And I understand that Frank Gore played for the Dolphins, same type of runner as Saquon Barkley. Had a good game against the Bears' rush defense, which is tops in the NFL. LeGarrette Blount had some good runs for the Vikings.
Right.
So it worries me a little bit if you were talking about Kirk Cousins or Aaron Rodgers playing quarterback. But Manning's not the same type of guy. And he's long in the tooth, and his offensive line stinks. So the way the Bears put pressure on quarterbacks, if they put pressure on him, it will force Manning into mistakes. And with Eddie Jackson becoming the best ball hawk I've seen in a long time in a secondary, go for it, Manning.
I think you're going to see Eddie Jackson make a lot of tackles, though. I think you're going to have to see him chasing down Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
Barkley's going to get loose.
They'll run Barkley because they don't want the Bears' offense on the football field. And, boy, isn't that something that we're talking about, the Bears' offense led by Chase Daniel, who started one game since 2014.
He got lost coming out of the tunnel.
He was so anxious to get out
like,
of the
I'm
tunnel.
Here, I'm out of here.
I forgot about the rest of my team. I keep hearing on these national football shows, Lou, that nobody's buying into the Bears. And I think a big reason is because every time the Bears, really ever, in the existence of the Bears, have had an elite defense, they've always had a really bad quarterback and a questionable offense. So everyone just immediately reverts back to that. Well, they have an elite defense. Their offense probably stinks. But anybody here locally is like, no. That's not the case. This is a different looking offense than we've seen. I realize it's Chase Daniel, but when Mitch Trubisky's healthy, this is a complete team.
Oh my God.
I'm kind of tired of this national talk of nobody buying in on the Bears. They're the real deal.
This feels real to me.
Am I wrong, Lou?
God, it's exciting.
I think you're 100% right. And unless you watch the team,
you're going to ask him that under John Fox, though, and he would have said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there, how many times in preseason in John Fox did Lou go
10-6?
Yeah, I know.
There was an 11-5 2 years ago, and I will not let him forget that.
That Kool Aid was laced.
All right. Okay. Let me. Okay. So.
Does feel different.
It's completely different, but is it my imagination? I'm going to give it even crazier now. Is it my imagination, or did I see a very different Chase Daniel in the second half of the game last week than I did in the first?
Yeah, of course you saw a guy that finally was able to. I mean, remember, he went into that football game, Ro. He had never practiced as the number one quarterback for the Bears.
And
Bears didn't
week.
Practice that week because it was a short week, right? They had a walkthrough on Tuesday, so there was no time for him to get any timing down. And remember, he's the scout quarterback. He is when
plays against the defense.
When you're playing the Giants, he's at Eli Manning. Right. Okay, for the first time this week, he had a chance to practice and get timing down with Allen Robinson and Trey Burton and Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen out of the backfield. And I think that's going to be a big deal. I keep going back to, and I know that we're not supposed to, you know, put much credence in what we saw during the preseason. But it's funny because we all say, well, but the third preseason game, that's the closest thing to a regular season game. Well, guess what? Against Kansas City starters with the Bears' second and third stringers on offense, Chase Daniel marched that Bears offense up and down the field against the Chiefs.
Right.
And are now the Chiefs, what, one of the top two teams in the NFL right now?
I think the Chiefs are the most fun team to watch in the NFL.
We talked about Barkley. Jordan Howard, I don't stress about his numbers as much as other people do because the Bears don't necessarily need to rely on him like they have in past years because they have other weapons. But are you concerned about this running game in general? I realize Howard's numbers aren't going to be what they were the past couple years because of this new offensive system, but still, you're going to have to get it going at some point, right?
You know what? I wasn't, and then Jeff Joniak last week on Bears Game Night Live, voice of the Bears, brought up some great numbers.
Yeah.
And I don't have them in front of me, but 6-7 of the teams in the NFL that won last week rushed for over a buck 40. Okay, and some teams were rushing over for over 200 yards in a game. Teams that you wouldn't expect. And what that says is weather's turning, not only in Chicago, but everywhere around the country.
Yeah.
Teams run the football when it's cold and snowy and rainy like it's going to be tomorrow in this town. And if you're not running the football, before that I would have said, well, you know what, Matt Nagy's offense, that short passing game that he has is really the equivalent of a running game for any other team.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's going to have to run the football, and that's why I hope that Jordan Howard keeps his head on straight. He's a great kid. You guys don't know him like I do. He is such a good guy. Obviously, he's disappointed because he knows that a season like this is costing him personally a fortune. Okay, but he's hanging in there, and I am waiting for the big Jordan Howard game where he busts loose for 200 yards in a football game, and we're like, that's the guy that we fell in love with the first 2 years of his career.
Could we, you know, I forgot to ask Tom Skilling because of the earthquake in Alaska.
What it's going
to
be like in New York at the Meadowlands?
Yeah, because we asked him earlier in the week, but we're going to look that up. And then on the other side...
can we make some money?
This is some Nick...
Oh,
Nick's
gosh.
Calling,
and
we got
sure. Nick has the full forecast, better than any other weatherman in the weatherman in the country.
He's not giving you a line, buddy, unless he knows what it's going to be on Sunday.
Every 15 minutes, the wind direction in the Meadowlands. But we'll find out. We'll find out what this is going to look like on the other side. And I'd also like to get your prediction too for the big Ten championship game tomorrow that Kevin and I are going to be pre gaming for.
Go Cats!
All right, all that was Sweet Lou coming up. But first, Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
It might be the biggest hazing settlement ever.
The Bears have won 5 in a row, so Hall of Famer Dan Hampton joins the Steve Cochran Show Monday morning, 7:10, recapping the Bears versus the Giants.
Judy standing by in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at WGN Radio. That's at the top of the hour. Mm-hmm. Sweet Luke Canellis is with us.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Is Nick coming, joining us?
Well, what do you need? Sunday. It's going to rain all day at the Meadowlands.
77% chance of precipitation. Fog.
Fog.
Maybe a thunderstorm.
Sounds like bear weather in Maine.
Sounds like it'll be a big running game.
Nick, I called my guy, too, so tell me what you want. What's your line?
Oh, gosh.
Hold on. I'm looking this. I got to look right now because he keeps moving on me. What are you getting?
Well, the reason it's moving on you is because there was no line before today. The odds makers in Vegas refused to put out a line because they didn't know if Mitchell Trubisky was playing or not. Now that the Bears have said it's doubtful, they released a line. My guy says, Nick, that the Bears are minus four and the over-under is 44.5. What's yours?
I've seen 3.5, Nick, and 44.5. A little bit of hook action for you, Nick. Is he sleeping this week? We got to wait.
I can't tell if that's snoring or thinking.
That's 3.5.
3.5.
Oh, wow.
And 43.5.
I'm going to say this. I love 3.5. I don't love 4.5. I don't know why. And it's so crazy. But these guys are always so right on, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, 90% of the time, it's like within a point or two of what they've called it. And it's crazy when you think, well, it's not going to happen like that. I am going to say I'm going to take the Bears, but I'm going to go with the under because of the weather.
And I'm with you. I like the Bears. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. The weather is supposed to be poor, like Kevin said. So I'll take the Bears. I really think the Giants are going to have a tough-as-heck time of scoring on that Bears defense. And I don't think the Bears are going to put a lot of points on the board either. So I think it'll be a low-scoring game. Something like, I'm going to go with 17-13.
Ooh, okay. Real old-school game there. I like it.
So it was the Bears.
Bears cover.
And you want the under. You want the under for a nickel.
Yes.
You want a dime on the Bears?
No, flip it. I'll take the dime on the under and a nickel on the Bears.
Oh, this is where I'm totally lost.
You want $2 on the par or no?
Yes. No, you know what? I'm going to.
You lay out the par?
I'm going to stay away from
the par. You can stay away from the par.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Actually, you owe me a lot of money because
that's true. You have steered us correctly.
I've been on a pretty good roll here, Nick.
You totally have been.
I wasn't surprised. It's been 10 days since you invited me back.
I'll come see you at your job on Monday. All right, I'll meet you in the parking lot.
Got it.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Northwestern Ohio State very quickly in about 30 seconds here that we have left.
Man, I am so excited for Coach Fitz.
Mm.
I saw Jim Phillips at the athletic director at Northwestern. I saw him at the Loyola game on Tuesday when Loyola lost to Nevada. And he is so jacked. I am just so happy for that program, that Northwestern program. I mean, my first venture in the radio was on WGN doing Northwestern games with Joe McConnell and Tim Weigel late 80s.
That is
so
a big
I am
deal.
So behind what they're doing. And guess what? I think that they're going to put up a good fight, but talent-wise, I mean, you just can't argue with Ohio State.
All right, Lou Canales, see him on Fox 32, Judy's News in 2. Rocanjo with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720
yes.
WGN. Mm-hmm. Big Carnarvon wagon coming your way.
Yeah.
Benny and the Jets. Carnarvon wagon. Benny's is here and Jets Pizza is here.
Oh, my great.
Yeah.
That was cute.
Yeah, that's what we did. Yeah, you know, they got real creative back in the production office.
Perfect pairing.
Yeah. It really kind of is.
I feel like that both of them right now.
I like Jets. You know, for like a delivery and a pickup kind of a place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chicago's couldn't be a tougher pizza town.
They have good crust.
They do.
Really?
And to be one of those guys that's, you know, in that sort of fast food version of, not really fast, but fast casual, whatever they call that.
Yeah.
It's a tough spot to be in, and they do a great job.
And they're doing well.
Oh my God. Yeah. They're opening stores left and right. And so that's something. I mean, we're a very critical
Detroit style.
Yeah. We're very critical to a town here. And we don't want, you see, it's best not to say that. Because then we get all our, you know, our backup. Like, the guys who are doing New York style here or Detroit style.
Change of pace pizza. I like it. Huge fan.
But it's good for, you know, I got a bunch of guys coming for the game.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh.
All right. Anyway, here's the point. It's the most important thing we can do right now, because it is 5 o'clock.
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5.
Let's go.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Number 5.
NASA says it's going to start partnerships with American companies to go to the moon.
Wow.
They're expected to award contracts ranging from $50,000 to millions of dollars to start the studies of what it is that they're, you know, proposals and all that. So
right,
research and development.
What's there to study? They've already done it.
Well, they want private companies to bid on this, too, so they're going to get private involvement.
We're going to do something no one's ever done before.
Well, it's they got to come up. See, the thing they want to do, within 10 years, they want to be habitating on the moon, where there'll be, like we do with the space station, there'll be people constantly up there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you got to build a moon base. Not just the rockets and all that other stuff to get back and forth. And they want to do a new technology, because the technology that we did in the 1960s and 70s to land on the moon is, you know, kind of, you know, sort of outdated, and it's, you know, one and done. They want to create a system where it's, you know, you've got replaceable or reusable pieces to it. And you got to have a, you got to have a moon buggy. You got to get a new moon buggy. We had a moon buggy. You got to get another one. We can actually use the ones that are still up there, because we never took them off, because you don't like put them in the garage and then take off again with them.
So they're still
there. Did you pack up the buggy?
Yeah. So here's the new NASA administrator, Jim Bridenstine, who says that the U.S. will be closer to the moon very soon.
I think we're probably within 10 years of having continuous manned presence on the moon. The president's space policy directive one, and this is very exciting. He says we're going back to the moon. This time, the word is sustainably. But what that means is we're going to stay. So right now, we're building a space station, we call it Gateway, that's going to be in orbit around the moon. Think of it as a reusable command module where we can have human presence in orbit around the moon. From there, we want reusable landers that go back and forth to the surface of the moon.
So I'm talking.
We think we can achieve this in a, in about 10 years.
Yeah,
wow.
See?
Continuous.
I want to go to the moon.
I do too now.
Let's go. Show outing.
You know who's going to go to the moon? The president. I'll be president of the moon, because quite honestly, I don't need this crap.
It's a good place to be.
Right,
it's hard to get you there if you want to escape things.
You know, the nice thing is you feel better because it's you're much lighter on the moon. You're like a third lighter on the moon.
Oh, I like that already.
So whatever you weigh here, take a third off, and then you know.
Yeah.
So you can run a marathon on the moon.
It's like being in the pool.
Yeah. Fun.
There's no gravity.
Mm-hmm. All right. Checking in at
number four.
City's most powerful and senior alderman still says he did nothing wrong. Federal agents yesterday raided Ed Burke's ward and city hall offices. This morning, Burke declined to shed light on what he thinks this is all about.
It's been a long time for me in public life, and I've been the subject of investigations in the past. I've always fully cooperated. Clearly, nothing has ever came of any of those. I'll cooperate now. My campaign will be that I've done a good job, that I have produced for the people that I represent, and hopefully I'll continue to do so.
I think you're right, Ro, though. Yesterday, it seemed like all the national news outlets went with the Trump's former tax attorney raided by feds, and I think they didn't raid his law office. They raided his ward offices and his city hall office,
right.
And so it seems a little bit hard to believe that that's the meat of what this is about.
And then there was this conspiracy theory that Trump turned the Justice Department on Ed Burke because Ed Burke turned on Trump.
They separated ways after 12 years of doing his tax business.
And may I also point something else out?
Yes.
If the president could turn the Justice Department around like that, he wouldn't be wasting it on Ed Burke.
Some other issues you'd probably be handling.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Justice is doing him a lot of favors right now. Oh, you know, the president called. He wants us to go after Ed Burke. I don't think anybody said that.
But the brown paper, we can confirm, is now down on the offices that was the feds put up.
Here's what Rahm Emanuel said about it.
You have 1,000 questions. I have 2,000 questions. What we both don't have is any answers. And that's all I can say about it. It's obviously significant.
You're all getting ahead of yourself. My goal and my job is to focus on the future of the city of Chicago.
Really? You're quit. What do you mean you have to focus on the city of Chicago? What the hell does that mean? We're not afraid of you anymore, pal.
That's like when your dad is like schooling you, like 1 and 1 equals 2. You're like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah.
You need to focus on your homework.
Yeah. You know what you need to do? You need to go, whatever you're going to go do. You're going to write a book. You're going to be on TV. You're going to get your own game show. I don't know. Whatever the hell. We keep hearing rumors about what Rahm Emanuel's going to do.
He's heard a professor today, right?
Yeah. Yeah, right. That's the one today. He's going to become a professor. Yeah. Okay. You can't fix a parking ticket anymore. We're not interested. Moving on. Maybe Enya Amara will be, will be the one.
Could be. One of 21 people currently running for mayor.
How about Chance?
Well, he's not running.
I don't. Well, maybe he could at the last minute. Maybe people will write him in.
I think the signatures, they already had him in. But
don't start with signatures with me, huh? Huh?
There are workarounds.
Yeah.
You're fired up.
Seriously. We're asking Rahm Emanuel. Is he going to lecture the press now? I don't think so.
He didn't want to weigh into this, and you can't blame
him.
No
one can.
No
one
can.
I've asked every, you
know,
we're
I've
a very
the same. We try. We
connected
have
show, right? Mm-hmm. We know a lot of people.
We know a
and
lot
we're
of people.
Asking a lot of people a lot of questions, and no one has any answers.
People have a lot of speculating, and that's what it is.
Right.
Then you had the governor saying this was long overdue. So you got that. He did weigh into it. Some people are not. Some people are.
Rahm, you might want to start being nice to us again because you're going to want a job fairly soon. I think that's the way we have to look at this.
Maybe.
Thank you. I've seen this before. You're not my first rodeo, pal. All right. I don't think that podcast is going to be what you think it's going to be. Let's now find out from Judy what's happening at the bottom of the hour.
Aftershocks in Anchorage.
Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater and Joe Donlin weeknights on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
All right. Top 5 at 5 continues on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Number 3.
Sharon Osbourne is coming after Kim Kardashian again because there's a video of Kim and Kanye flying on a totally empty 747 on Instagram.
No big deal. Just taking a private 747. This is how he does it now. Only 747s. Private. Whatever. Oh my God, there's bedrooms everywhere. No big deal, just like a chill room. This is like endless. We actually brought our trainer on the flight so we can work out here.
Has she always sounded that annoying, or has it progressively gotten worse over the
that
years?
That is annoying as hell.
But think about it. Sharon Osbourne, didn't she come to be known also by showing off her whole family in a $30 million house in Beverly Hills?
Well, I mean, the showing off, but like the actual, her way she talks. I mean, mother of God.
No, but I mean, she's criticizing Kim Kardashian for showing off her wealth. Her whole reality show that made the Osbournes, I mean, you knew Ozzy from his music, but how we found out to know more about Sharon was traipsing around her $30 million mansion.
I will tell you the annoying part. The reason they're on that plane is because it's Kanye West's office in the sky. He wanted an office in the sky. So I don't really understand.
Let me tell you the annoying part is if you are Kanye West's business manager, you're like, Bubby darling, sweetheart, listen, what are you doing? Why would you rent a 747 for an office? I will get you an office in a strip mall in Oak Lawn.
It's not the same. That doesn't work so well on Instagram.
Yeah.
Isn't she kind of over the whole luxury thing? Like, this is all new to her? She's been like a millionaire for so long. She sounds like a high school girl. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, but that's what almost makes it okay, because you would be excited if you are on a 747.
So here's what the talk did. This is with Sharon Osbourne and the other ladies of the talk. Not the View of the talk. We're all upset about this.
I think those words of obnoxious, obsessive, you know what? You're gifted. Both of you have been gifted from God. You have brilliant lives. God bless you both. But there are millions and millions of people that don't live your lives, that look up to you. Mm. Don't shove it down people's throats. It is obnoxious. We have a thing that I was brought up with, that if you're lucky enough to have a gifted life, don't flaunt it.
Well,
Ozzy! Okay, Sharon.
That's how that
works. Sharon!
You do both so well.
Be Kanye and Kim later on, like 30 years.
I know. That's really, you're right.
It kind of is. The
Kanye
same people.
Kanye and Kim, right. Just imagine, because, you know, Is it
Kanye mumbling around the streets of Chicago looking for Kim?
Kim.
Totally true.
Kim. Okay, so I am gay, Kim.
That's what I hear when I hear Kanye talk now.
Yeah. It's kind of like that.
It kind of all the same people.
All right. I just the whole thing makes me want to vomit from stem to stern.
Okay.
All right. Checking in at
number two.
Another typical Friday over at the Fox and Friends set. Steve Doocy had to apologize for Kid Rock. They were interviewing Kid Rock from his big-ass honky-tonk rock and roll steakhouse in Nashville when he said some unfortunate things about Joy Behar from The View.
God forbid you say something a little bit wrong. You're racist, homophobic, Islamophobic, this, that, and the other. People need to calm down, get a little less politically correct. And I would say, you know, love everybody except, I'd say, screw that Joy Behar, everybody.
You cannot say that.
I mean, lady.
We apologize for that.
I mean, lady.
No, get in.
All right. You thought the interview was bad there. Wait.
It got worse?
How's the president doing?
I think the president's doing a great job with his policies. I wish, you know, I heard you earlier in a bumper asking people, you know, what was their biggest concern. And mine would be just, you know, the division in the country right now, that it's so hard for people just to get past that we can disagree and still be cordial with one another.
Right. Cordial with one another?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although,
is that what he's doing?
Is what? I'm sorry.
When he uses those words about Joy Behar, I just feel like not exactly falls in line with that message.
Right. So that was, we went kind of the opposite order there, because it went off the rails when he called Joy Behar the B word. But then Joy Behar.
Did he say to call me a B? Yes. And you come for one of us. You came for all of us, Kid Rock. So all I can say is this and these will be happy to have you on the show and have a beer.
You should
stay
do
far
that.
Away.
Why wouldn't you want to do that?
Stay classy.
Right. Stay classy, Kid Rock and Joy Behar, because we've always known all of you to be classy.
Yes, it's what we expect.
Yeah. Oh, and finally.
Number one.
Got money, I'll do anything for you. Got money, just tell me what you want me to.
Ted Cruz has denied two things. Drinking all the beer at a Nine Inch Nails concert and attempting to get into one of their recent shows. He had to
clarify that.
Clarify both of those things. So he said he had to deny that he was trying to get in and to drink the beer. All the beer. That was after Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails, Nin, lobbed the allegations at a concert in Texas.
We're voting for Ted Cruz. See, the lights aren't on. I can't see. Can someone, is there any way to turn the lights on? I'd like to see. Go ahead, raise your hand. You guys. Nothing to be ashamed of. Just checking. He might be here tonight. He was bugging to get on the guest list, and I told him to f*** off. And we put him on a few years ago. He drank all the beer, and he's just a pain in the ass to be around. So, I hold it against you.
Just what you'd expect, too,
I just
right?
hate when people get political at concerts, though. Like,
oh, then don't go see U2.
But he's in Texas there, too.
Well, okay. Yeah. Right, he's there saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Ted Cruz is saying that's not his musical taste. But
I did not try to get on the list for Nine Inch Nails. I did try to get into a taping of Nine Inch Nailed, though.
Ew. It's confusing.
What a wild top five this was. Kid Rock, Kim Kardashian, Ted Cruz
had
queso drooling off his chin.
It's just, how does he find
himself? Oh, that's queso, right. That's what that is, queso.
Oh, God.
How does he find himself in these situations? Didn't click the porn video, didn't try to get into this concert.
I didn't.
Mm-mm.
And Casey didn't either. And neither did Brandon, Casey's stepfather.
It's all a misunderstanding.
Oh, they do like each other, though.
How do you know?
I saw it. I saw he was hiding behind the bushes, and I saw it in that video on the phone. And it scared me. Poor girl lost all her clothes.
All right. Can we close this?
Yeah,
let's do that. Judy Pilak has news being brought to you by VictoryAutoWreckers.com. Judy, let me play this for you, and then you start.
The top five at five.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here? I want one bourbon, one shot, and one beer. One bourbon, one shot, one beer.
Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life. And I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it. I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
People need to calm down, get a little less politically correct. And I would say, you know, love everybody except, I'd say, screw that Joy Behar. Everybody.
No. Oh, my.
Love everybody.
I mean, lady.
We apologize for that.
I mean, lady.
Oh, gee.
Fox News spending a lot of time apologizing. They're just constantly having, all right, Kid
Rock. Didn't mean that one either.
Stop that, Kid Rock. Stay classy, Detroit. Oh, speaking of Detroit, look at how this kind of works out. Yeah. Actually, he's not from Detroit, is he? Is Kid Rock? No. I don't know why I thought that.
Yeah,
he's from Michigan, isn't he? Right, but we're Detroit.
Is from Detroit? I don't know.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't
let's
really
go
matter.
With that.
Let's go with what we know at the moment. The Carnarvon wagon is out, and it's time for all of us to get along. There are two things that America can agree on without fear of reservation.
Mm-hmm.
Pizza and beer, right?
Sure.
I mean, those are the two things that we can definitely agree on.
Very few people complain.
And so the Carnarvon wagon is that. It's Benny and the Jets. We've got Benny's here with beer and a cocktail for the holidays that the Wine Whisperers put together for us. And most importantly, Jets pizza. We were talking about this just a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, it's very hard, David Filato, which, by the way, Mr. Filato, that's a name that is very well known in the Chicago radio industry. So, and you're part of that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yeah, that's your little brother,
for sure.
Yeah. Oh my
cool.
God. No, that's
hang
interesting.
Out with Mark Grace and back in the day with Ronnie Sano.
Yeah,
for sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Neat.
Dan Filato, the great Dan Filato, one
oh
of the it's a Hall of Famer right there.
He is.
Yeah. So now, how you ended up with this, and you, Vito Sorrentino, the Jets pizza started. It's Detroit, right?
Right.
Yeah, Detroit style pizza.
Yeah. But it started in Michigan.
In Michigan. Sterling Heights, Michigan.
So what makes it Detroit style? What's the defining factor there?
You know, it's really good. It's made fresh every day. It's a thick, crunchy, caramelized crust, buttery.
Mm-hmm.
It's really
crust
good.
Is amazing.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And then again, it's made every single day fresh. So you know, it's what separates us from Chicago style pizza. It's not layered. It's not not like a lasagna style pizza.
And it's square. Is
yeah,
that
it's
also
a square.
Michigan?
It's a pan pizza. From what I know, it's a Michigan based
Detroit
style. It's delicious.
Hey, and here's the thing. I mean, that's a big deal to come into Chicago
yeah,
as a pizza
tough.
Guy, to come in from out of town.
Yeah.
It's not easy. People don't like it. And then what happened, here's why I know it was working. Because people would whisper about it. Where do you want to order from? And they would go, oh, you know, we could order from, and they would name all their neighborhood places. Because, you know, well, let's pick up from Jets. And then when you hear somebody saying that here in Chicago, but they would say, no, don't tell nobody. Don't tell the neighbors. They were sneaking around. They were covering the box when they were taking it in, or they put it out. And then people go, hey, what is this? Hey, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Because it's great. You guys are doing
Chicago's
really,
a tough market for pizza, that's for
I
sure.
Bet.
But
yeah.
Coming out here with what we got, it works out really well. We do good.
So that was
you can compete for
congratulations
sure.
On that. So, in the spirit of giving back, Jets Pizza has partnered with Catholic Charities, the Archdiocese of Chicago, during the holiday season to offer a free small one-topping Detroit-style pizza to each customer that brings in an unused unwrapped toy to one of their participating locations. In conjunction with this promotion, Lyft will be offering complimentary pickup and delivery of the toys to Catholic Charities. How about that? You got everybody kind of working on this. So it's a free small pizza. It's available in-store orders only Monday, November 26th, that's last Monday, to Sunday, December 9th.
Right. Yes.
So it's going out right now until the 9th.
Goal is to break 10,000 toys. I think we're going to get there, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're getting some good traction.
Catholic Charity's 71st Annual Celebration of Giving Toy Drive provides gifts to more than 25,000 1,000 kids, like you just mentioned, and families who would be otherwise without anything to open this Christmas. So that's really cool. That's a very, very nice thing to do.
It is. What a nice way to give.
And you brought the pizza along with you. Thank you very much.
Of course. Thanks for having us.
You know, it's real nice. And now to the beer component. The Wine Whisperer, though she is not, she's leading. She's brought a one of her partners in crime to explain to us, Pat Brophy, who's been here before. And you can explain the beer, and you can explain the drink here. Can I start with the cocktail? Because you made something that would be good for, like, holiday parties. They're starting this weekend. People are throwing their parties
for people. It's kind of been started, I think. Yeah. You know, but we're just happy to join on that train and keep it going, keep it rolling. So it's Rudolph's Christmas cocktail. You can see it's covered with a lovely cranberry garnish. So that sort of gave us the idea of the name Rudolph with that lovely red nose. Red. So it's the base here is a healthy amount of our Buffalo Trace small batch bourbon that Pat Brophy himself had a hand in selecting those barrels for this.
I thought you made it yourself.
Oh, no. I'm not that talented. I mean, come on.
Nice job, though, Pat. It's delicious.
Yeah, we pick about 25 of our own barrels, batch together three times a year. We'll taste through, you know, anywhere between 50 and 70 barrels. And we're looking for kind of classic Buffalo Trace notes of cherry, toffee, vanilla, and a little bit of like a baking spice, anise type of pepperiness to it. And that's kind of what we picture when we think that classic Buffalo Trace profile. Mm-hmm. And we're looking for something with
that's
a little more body.
That's what you think about Buffalo Trace?
Well, yeah. That's what, when you're thinking of the holidays, that's perfect, right?
Yeah, and it makes bourbon itself with those baking spice characters and a bit of that kind of like brighter cherry note to it. Perfect for a lot of Christmas drinks.
Okay, then what else is in this thing?
So, cranberry juice, not cocktail, right? We've got a little bit of simple syrup in here to round it out, and some Grand Marnier for a little bit of lift and citrus to it. Then I've put a rosemary sprig in there to make it a little bit more festive.
How did you do the cranberries? Did you roll them in sugar?
I did.
They look like they have little snow.
Yes, I did. I rolled them in
like
sugar.
Beautiful snowflakes.
Super simple
on them.
To make, super easy. Easy to batch for large parties. It's a great, great cocktail.
It's delicious.
Where am I going to find recipe? Because it's too complicated now.
We've got it on our blog.
After 3 minutes of description, I don't think I can keep up with it.
Oh, come on. This is a simple one.
Yes. Listen, as the Whisperer knows, Simple Syrup was my rap name in the 1990s.
I'd love to hear some of that music.
I was in NWA. I didn't last very long in NWA, but I was still there. So your blog at WGNRadio.com or which blog?
I believe we'll feature them at both right now. They're on the Binney's blog.
Okay.
All the recipes blog. There.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. You're welcome. Thank you very much. All right. Now now you brought beer, too. Now let's talk about pairing with pizza. Can we talk about that for a second? If you were to pair, this may not be the beers that we have in front of us here, but if you were to pair with pizza, what would you pair?
Pretty straightforward. You want something that's going to kind of scrub your tongue after each bite. You need something a little lighter, a little higher level of carbonation. Looking for something like a golden ale, a blonde ale, India pale ale, very popular pale ale. Something just hoppy, light, refreshing, easy drinking. Yeah. Gets that kind of heavier cheese and oil, you know, fattiness from the sausage, pepperoni, whatever.
Maybe a Michelob Ultra.
You know, if you're interested in drinking beer and not tasting beer, yeah.
I love that one.
Got Miller Lite.
Natty Light.
What about a Corona?
Natty Light. Wait, who said Natty Light? Who
was
it? Was it Natty Light? All right. Yeah, you took me right back to college right there. You know, but if you really wanted to up the game, it was Busch Light. If you really wanted to spend some real money.
That's what I started on. Good old days.
Yeah, that's how that goes. Well, it's interesting because that you see, obviously, is it, you know, Bud Light is trying to fight that in all their advertising, right? That's the whole thing is that, you know, forget about it. All these people who are, they're saying people are pretentious, but beer is better than it has ever been in America right now.
Without
a
doubt.
You have a choice on anything you want to do. Mm-hmm. See, now that's a nice thing. People, and it competes with wine. Which is really good. Like Binney's, you walk into the Binney's of the Marcy Street, the mothership over there.
Yeah.
That it's like a Home Depot for liquor. Because when you get in it, you get disoriented immediately. And you're like, you can't see to the end of the store. Right? You walk into a Walgreens, you can see to the end of a store, right? You walk into the Binney's and you're like, the curvature of the earth happens before you actually get to the other side of it.
It goes on forever.
And it used to be just, you know, all wine and liquor. Some liquor and some beer. Right? Now it's like it's still all the same wine, but tons of beer, which is insane.
It's a huge category for us. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, and the beer's being made like across the street in something that used to be a garage, and now they're making a beer, and it's like the best beer in the world.
Maybe a direct pipeline right in.
It's accessible. Yeah. I mean, it's reasonably priced. You know, you can get a world class beer for $10. Good luck getting a world class wine for that kind of a price.
Hey,
there's great wines for $10.
Kristen can find them for you. That's right. What I've learned.
If anyone can, she can.
I've been burned many a time by trying to buy the $10 bottle, but Kristen can steer you right at Binny's, and we've done it before, and they're amazing.
Appreciate that.
If you had a last meal beer, what would it be?
Oh, geez. Probably something rich, barrel aged. Very strong.
Something not $10. Guarantee you that.
Yeah. Like a
some high alcohol content.
Because
you're going to die in a few minutes, so you want to feel better about it. It's the best way to do that. If you had a last meal Jets pizza, what would be on it?
Ooh, Eugene Supreme.
Eugene Supreme's probably my favorite one on the.
What goes on there?
It sounds like everything on
onion,
it.
Onion, green pepper, mild pepper, sausage, and. I like spicy, so I put Cajun on it, and sometimes I'll throw jalapenos on there, but it's definitely...
Listen, if you're going, there's no better way. You might as well spice it up.
So if you're going to put spices on there, I would go that route. That's what I do. But the Eugene Supreme's my favorite on the menu. There's so many, though.
Little turbo
super
crust.
Special. Yeah, always have to add the turbo crust.
What happens with the turbo crust?
It's butter, garlic, and Parmesan cheese.
That's why I love
cheese
it.
Over the crust. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Cardiac arrest crust, I
it's
think.
It's so good.
And some ranch.
Anything on that Jets crust is going to be good. I mean, the crust is so great.
You guys are still expanding too, right? I mean,
very much so. Yeah.
How many stores? How many different locations?
400 locations right now.
Yeah,
around the country.
Yeah, around the country.
Not
24
just the
in Chicago or in Illinois. There's 24. And how many in Chicago?
It's 24 in Chicago.
Oh, in Chicago.
In Illinois.
No,
Illinois.
Never mind. In Illinois. Yeah.
Don't let the downstate find out about this.
No.
Expanding.
They're Champagne.
They could actually use it downstate because it is very hard. The one thing about Jets that I really appreciate is when. When I went away to college in Ohio, there was no good pizza in Ohio. And I, was coming from Chicago. How are you going to do that?
Possibly,
that just didn't seem, it was remarkable to me that that was the case. But Jets, if you find Jets anywhere, you're going to get that, high quality.
Absolutely.
Item. Yeah. It's not like the other, sort of, bigger names in national pizza, which, I'm sure
they do
they're
the job.
They can do the job. Some of them do the job better than others, but since they're all advertisers, I'm not going to say which one did what.
Sure, let's not do that.
But this
is delicious. We can say that.
All right, Carnarvon Wagon is rolling. It's Binny and the Jets. Stay right here. First, let's check in with Judy. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Chicago's winter parking ban about to take effect.
Should mention, Judy's got the news coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in about 5 minutes or so, maybe 6 minutes, maybe 7 minutes.
And then the Bears, they've won 5 in a row, so Hall of Famer Dan Hampton joins the Steve Cochran Show Monday morning at 7:10 to break down the Bears-Giants game.
And a major show announcement coming your way after 6
o'clock. This is big.
Yeah. It's kind of a big deal.
It is.
And we're drinking heavily now on the Carnarvon Wagon.
Which is good. That'll help.
Not that unusual for a Friday here, but we are doing it in advance of this announcement because it's kind of a bittersweet announcement.
It is. No
question. Sort of sad.
But sort of happy.
Yeah,
sort
of.
Sort of.
We'll find out how it's taken. When it's actually announced, coming up after 6 o'clock.
Okay.
All right. It's Binny and the Jets are here. Jets Pizza has brought the food in for the Carnarvon Wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And as great as you could possibly imagine. Gentlemen, congratulations on this because you're coming in here from Detroit. You're a how many stores around the country now?
400
stores.
Crazy.
Around the country. That's a big thing. And generally, that sort of corporate pizza that comes into Chicago gets punched in the nose. Not you guys. You punched right back because it's a really good product.
Yeah,
so
we're here. We're here to stay. It's nice. We love Chicago.
The first weekend that we opened the store, I took my wife to the Blackhawks game, and the whole stadium was cheering, "Detroit sucks."
You're like, welcome to Chicago.
This is going
to
go over
great. So, coming from Detroit.
You're starting a pizza place here? What are you doing?
It's kind of a cousin thing, though, right? I mean, it's
very
like...
Very much so. It's a rivalry.
Yes.
It's nice. It's a little... A lot of people that are in Chicago are from Detroit.
Right. Tigers versus the Sox, the Bears, Lions. I mean, it's been a really good rivalry between the two. Pistons, Bulls.
Oh, Pistons, Bulls, right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Now Binny's is here, and Binny's brought the beer. You brought two different types of beer in here that are for the holidays?
Yeah, we brought the classic holiday beer, Great Lakes Christmas Ale. This is actually out of Cleveland, Ohio. Great Lakes is one of the old guard brewers in the craft brewing scene. They've been around since 1988.
Right.
Christmas Ale is a winter warmer style of beer, which just means really... It's just a strong beer that's usually spiced. And so this one specifically is brewed with honey, ginger, and some baking spices, notably cinnamon. And it's just strong, malty, just delicious, Christmas in a bottle type of beer.
It really is. It tastes like Christmas.
Yes. I'm going to drink the entire bottle now before the beginning of the
Why not, bro? Before six. It'll help you get through the 6 o'clock.
And then you've got kind of the opposite here too, right?
Yeah, like, I actually have a very special beer. This is a collaboration that we at Binney's brewed with our friends at the Firestone Walker Brewery in the Central Coast of California. This is a sour beer. As an Illinois and California collaboration, it's brewed with pawpaw fruit and also some wine grapes, notably Sauvignon Blanc and Viognier.
Oh.
And so as a sour beer, it is slightly tart, but it's really good for certain food pairings like, you know, hard aged cheeses.
Yeah, it's like a wine.
Cured meats.
Firestone's the wine people, right?
Yeah, that's the same family, yeah.
Wow. That's really good. So I'd say beer and wine are kind of merging. Next thing you know...
It's strange. It isn't because you have the oak barrels. Are there beers
that
are done
in
oak barrels?
This beer was fermented in oak barrels with a mixed culture of yeast and actually a bacteria, too, called lactobacillus.
I think I'm becoming non-binary about beer and wine, and I don't know what to do
about it. What's weird is I really don't understand a lot about beer, but that tastes so good. It's just remarkable.
Go. All right, guys, thank you so much for being here, Jets and Benny's.
Thank you.
Thank you for
and don't forget to bring
thank
the
you.
Toys to Jets and get a small pizza in exchange. Check Jets' website to find out about that.
I'm falling apart. Well, I do believe this body is shot. Well, I know my heart is good. It just needs a new start. So take me to the junkyard and sell me for parts. Ow.
That's the Jam Alker Band, and they are here for
nice.
Live Music Friday. Wait till you hear these guys.
Awesome.
They'll put some hair on that. I'm not even sure what that even means.
Somehow that works, though, in my mind.
Yeah, they will. They're going to do something here that's going to blow doors, as they like to say. And I'm not quite sure what that means.
And they're doing something good for people too. We want to talk to them about that.
Right. Actually, Jam's been here before. Mm-hmm. He is a recovering addict and alcoholic, and he used music to recover.
Right.
And there's so many people, especially in the arts. You know, the artistic mind is often very troubled and tends to want to self-medicate. And there is there are answers for that. And mm-hmm. Jam is a really inspirational story about all of that.
Totally true.
It's really, really, really cool. So we're going to play that for you. These are going to play some music, and we are going to do something right for people. Even though the irony of the Knarble wagon rolling while we're doing it is not lost on me. All right. We have a major show announcement that we are about to make.
I know.
And this news just now crossing into the public here just a few minutes ago. But one of our people is leaving the program. And this is these are auspicious moments because we've in the last 4 years of the afternoon show here on WGN, it's been a pretty tight knit group.
Yes, it has.
And Judy Pilak, after how many years have you been at WGN?
Too many.
Too many.
32. See,
I knew this was going to be a lovely and
just a lovely heartfelt sort of calm.
Heartfelt, right,
I'm going to walk out of the station and I'm going to let the door hit me right in the ass.
Yes. So another, you know, we have a bitter beer here for you if you'd like.
Yeah, there's a couple of cocktails. Yeah. Might as well.
So Judy Pilak is leaving the program, leaving WGN. 32 years.
Yes. You know what? 32 years is enough. Right? It's enough. I feel like I need to do something else for the next few years, mm-hmm. and then I'll retire because I'm kind of close, but not close enough.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know what? The opportunity presented itself, and as you know, I'm so talented.
Happiness Clinic? What are you going to do?
You know what? I've not looked back yet. No regrets. So we'll see. But when I'm laying in my pajamas drinking a vodka at noon on a Tuesday.
Please text us and let us know. That feels
why watching, should that be yeah. different than any other Tuesday?
Making fun of Ro on Windy City.
Yeah.
You know what? That sounds kind of fun.
Yeah. He doesn't know what
he's
talking about.
He said stupid things back then, too. Yeah, I'll be calling the show.
What?
Put me on.
A-hole.
No, really. I hope to be doing something. I don't know what yet, but I do know that I'll be doing something good and important and fun.
Mm-hmm.
This was a blast. It was a blast. Oh. But I just, it's time. It's
on
time to
the
move
next
on.
Chapter.
Yep.
So now, this is an interesting moment too, because this is a choice of yours.
Yes,
because it's very it's rare, actually, that we get to make these choices in our business, that you get to go out and stay, and our final show is going to be our final show of the year coming up in a couple of weeks. You're going to still be at the live show next Friday, and yeah. It's great and unique to be able to do that and walk out on your own terms.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? One of the most important things to me is that my two boys see that they know that I'm not just going to coast for the next 10 years, mm-hmm. which I could easily do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm at the top of my game, as you know. Mm-hmm. Man, I don't know how you're going to replace me. Anyway, I like that I'm showing them that sometimes it takes courage, but you need to, you know, take some risks, and you need to do things other than the same thing for 32 years.
I'm so shocked, though. I'm like still too. In a state of shock. Like, I don't even know what
Get
to
over
say.
It, okay? Because
no,
I'm leaving.
I can't.
Yeah, you had a good run.
Well, it's funny. I feel like I've been, you know, coddling everyone. Because it is, you know, I think no one was probably more shocked than WGN. because it's a great job. I love my job. I know I'm good at my job. But, you know, like I said, the door opened. Now it's going to close. But more doors are going to open.
Mm-hmm.
I could go on and on with those.
But what an exciting ride it's been, right? Do you look back and you think, gosh, is there anything that I didn't do that I wanted to do?
No, and actually, I feel that the time is right. I've done everything. I've been here. I mean, I've been here through Wally Phillips and Bob Collins and Spike O'Donnell. I mean, I've been here a long time, and look at how young I still look.
And keep drinking, Judy. It's going great.
Here's another cocktail.
I just, you know what? It's a great opportunity for me to just do something else.
And choose that path.
And choose that path, yes. I want to walk out of here at 32 years at the top of my game.
Mm-hmm.
Not at 40 years when I retire. For some reason, that just sounds terrible to me.
There is a whole... I mean, I think we've all been around it in any job. Anybody knows people who have just been there, kind of hung on too long, right?
Right.
And... you know, you certainly have not hung on too long.
No,
I mean, you're going
at
your first available opportunity.
Exactly.
Which I think is kind
of interesting. And I know, like I said, my family, everyone is shocked. They're all, and I get it, but it was just the right time for me.
We were all kind of shocked.
Yes,
absolutely. I still don't believe it.
But not me. When the opportunity presented itself,
we were all
right
kind of joking
it.
On group texts about football and sports, and all of a sudden you dropped that bomb.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Like, that was a touchdown in my book.
Couldn't even process it. It was like, wow.
I think Violetta was the first one who said, seriously, she texted me separately. Are you kidding?
No, she texted. She texted all of us separately.
Was she kidding?
Yeah.
No, the thing is, I don't really always read those group texts. So then I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, is this about football? Because I'm not going to read it.
Let's take her off the group text then so we can talk about her. That would be better. She's not really reading them.
Can I stay on, though?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Great.
Oh, yeah, you stay on forever.
Those are kind of fun.
Yeah, you're emeritus now.
You still got to come to the parties that we have at Rose House.
Oh, I don't know about that.
No, she should be invited.
The amount of money I have spent over the years on Judy's birthday.
I swear to God.
It's very expensive.
Before I leave, I'm sleeping over in that spare room at your house just because I can.
I will be in Antarctica.
All right, the whole show minus Ro will be there.
Yeah, that will not be happening. Judy can do it, but the whole show is not allowed unless the Navy SEALs are actually protecting all of the other rooms. I want to say that it has been an honor to work with you,
mm-hmm.
because you are one of the great news people ever in this town.
Nice
radio
to
news
Thank
people
you.
Ever mm-hmm. in this town. You're a great writer. Always sharp on delivery.
Catches everything.
Right.
You never miss a thing when Judy's in the news chair.
You do have a tendency to, in the middle of a laughing segment, and I come to you for the tease, you do often bring up the most depressing stories ever.
Sorry.
So
you know
your news, but
just
I got
the
it.
Facts, man.
I know. It's
I was
going to
say the pilot pause, where we're all like, is everything working? Is she there?
She's the only person I know, actually,
Very
in the business
dramatic.
Who can get away with that. And that's true. That is really true.
Yeah, I take a pause. Yeah. I mean, it's all good.
Yeah.
And it's funny how you turn that on me when really that's your problem, not mine, as we all know, because I can't dictate what the
news or ruse will never be the same.
Oh,
Judy
yeah.
wins.
It kind of will, because I will always be the news queen, regardless of who wins. They'll never win as many as I've won
right.
in 4 years.
Yes.
It's true.
And we can tell,
you believe in your queen?
If there's any kind of charity that would like to hire Judy, because she's very, very humble and is very, you know.
Funny you should mention that. Yes, I will be available to start work January 1st. So if you have a job you think I might be able to do, please give me a call right here at WGN. Be fine.
Now, it's interesting that of all the people that I've had the great honor to work with in the news business, I mean, you're right at the very top in terms of an anchor. You're really great.
Well, what about the goodbye girl? How am I supposed to get my goodwill news?
Don't you worry about that, because perfect. I'll be the goodbye girl for the next year.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. Good. I worked that out. Don't worry.
Good.
Yeah, I'll still be the goodbye girl. I just won't be the...
She's now really the goodbye girl. Is what she is.
Goodbye, girl.
The bye-bye girl.
Bye-bye girl.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
It's very
I hadn't thought of that. That's pretty funny.
Well, we'll have to have another party now. Ro, you're going to have to plan another one.
Yep.
I already had one on the books, so now this turns into Judy's... It's right before Judy's departure, too.
Great.
So I'm going to make it about Judy. You know, let me just tell you the truth about these parties.
And if you don't, I will make it about me, so.
These parties were always planned around, you know, like to after the election cycle or something. And it turns out that just happens to be Judy's birthday. And I was like, oh, this is for Judy's birthday. It was really just a way for all of us to blow off steam right after, you know, a hard couple of months leading up. And
was
so,
it really, though?
No, of course not, Judy. You're sitting right here. No, it's not. But in a couple of weeks, I'll tell the
story. She's in arm
real
reach.
Yeah, I know. I know. She's actually in the studio with me right now.
I know, right?
She'll take you out. Out, yeah. No this question.
Why my money's on Judy. Before? I might be in here for the last 2 weeks.
Oh, God. Actually, when I started here, it was funny. I started, in, I don't know what year, 2015, I guess it was, they put Judy in the studio with me like a minder. It was like,
watch this guy.
Right. It was, she stood, she was sitting where you're sitting now, Anna, and she would look at me and go, this is what you're doing now. This is what you're doing now.
I give him like the shake. No.
And then she'd point to something and she'd go, do that now or do this. I was like, press that button.
Right.
I mean, it was
kind of like you're here because I allow you to be here kind
of
thing.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. It was sort of like that. And it's funny. It was like a shock collar, a human shock collar.
You know what? I was a little bit shocked, too. I was right there.
I know.
Wait, so when did you make...
The energy level was too much. You were like, whoa.
When did you kind of feel like this was the right decision? Like, were you sort of feeling like you had checked off your list of goals of what you were going to do
here?
Yeah,
I mean, this isn't just like a split decision.
No,
I didn't. I've been thinking about this for a little bit. Mm-hmm. That I just, you know, I'm like, 32 years. I love what I do, but I've been doing it for a long time.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I just, so lately, it's just like I said, everything's timing. When they offered it, I was like, oh, what? That's a pretty good deal. I'll take it.
Seems like the right moment.
Yeah, it really was.
It was a corporate opportunity to do it. It wasn't this isn't totally 100% out of the blue, because corporately they're offering opportunities for people if they want to go, and you took it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just like I said, it was the right time. It was all the right time, and I feel good about it. I'm all actually kind of giddy.
Oh,
I hear the giddiness.
I can hear it too.
But I'll miss you guys.
Oh, I didn't hear that until just then.
I don't think I don't hear it now.
No, I still don't hear it now.
We'll miss you, Judy.
I'm going to miss you.
Oh. Go ahead, cry for me.
Violetta doesn't handle change well. She's bawling her eyes out over here. Look what you've done.
Ever since I heard the news, I'm like sweating. I'm like, I am nervous.
Oh my God.
I don't like change, though. It'll be fine. I don't know. I'll miss you.
Oh, you're in the wrong business if you don't like change.
That is true.
Great point.
That is
says the girl who's been here for 32 years.
You know, millennials don't know how to count change, so it works out really well here. All right. We have a very special tribute to Judy coming up. And Judy will be with us all the way through the rest of the year as we continue on next week. Obviously, we've got the big Toys for Tots event, the first
Roel. You don't be here, but I don't expect too much.
Yeah, well, can I just tell you, I think for people who listen carefully and closely to this show, which is about five people, but if they do, they have heard a distinctive change of tone in Judy in the last 7 to 10 days.
You almost could predict it a little bit. That she's
the
sort
tone
of letting
is,
go slowly.
Yeah, but the tone is, hey, happy. I'm a little
she's been
happy.
So nice
happy.
To everyone.
Oh,
I'm like, who is this?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
And you
happy.
Know what? For your information,
oh, God,
I just did. I just completed a 3-part series on
still
the
working.
Opioid crisis. Hello, it'll be airing next week.
All right.
Because you know what? I can't just leave.
She wants a Peabody before she goes.
Well, you know what? Whatever.
Another one. Yeah.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah. All right. Stay right here. We have the tribute to Judy, who, by the way, has won probably more awards than any other radio news person in this building, let alone anywhere else. So,
well, I thank you. It's been an honor to work here, and I will miss my WGN family.
Just not us.
Just not you. Right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'll miss some of you, but no, of course, it's going to be very, very different. But onward and upward, and it's all good. It's all good, people.
Awesome.
That's inspiring.
Yeah. I love my, and the listeners, of course, I can't even begin. Mm.
Well, they know you so well.
Fabulous.
So many years.
Hopefully, I'll still see a lot of them as the goodbye girl. And I'll always be connected to WGN. That's the thing.
That's true.
I can't get away from it, no matter what I do.
32 years.
Yeah, yeah. Know. It's like a lot of people who've gone before me, and like Spike Odell comes to my mind. I mean, I'll just always, I'll still be here as a goodbye girl.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's in my DNA. Oh my gosh, did I just sound like Todd there?
I just stand by 1 second, because what I want to do is I want to play this on the other side. Because it's a radio show still. So there's a radio tease. So even the most intimate of moments here have to have a commercial break before them.
Are you using my departure as just to
fodder for ratings?
Yes. Yeah. As
anything for the show.
An opportunity to add listening minutes to anybody's given day. So
go
stay tuned.
It.
The big Judy Pylak. Bye-bye, girl. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
To WGN, and specifically now to the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Coming up right after, I would ask you what the headlines are at the bottom of the hour, but I won't do that.
You know what the answer would be.
Yes.
Good boy.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Violetta?
This week on Chicago's Best, Thin, Crispy, and Square, it is tavern-style pizza on all-new Chicago's Best Southside, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
All right, Judy Pylak has just announced her departure from this radio program.
Oh, no.
I mean, not like for the night. I mean, forever. but that not until the end of the year. Not until the Friday the 21st.
And just not this program, but the entire station.
That's right. After 32 years.
Yes,
I won't be going to like the John Williams show or anything. Although,
he's offered you something.
A better offer? Yeah. So we want to salute Judy. And apparently, Judy wants to salute us back.
Yes, okay, so I'm leaving on my my next journey in life, which, by the way, I'm very excited about. I don't really know what that is yet, but let me tell you, it's going to be damn exciting and good and everything I've always wanted. I'll let you know when it happens. So before I leave, I would like to impart a few words of wisdom to my team here on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. First of all, Ro, goodbye. I really got nothing to say to you because you're such a know-it-all. What am I going to tell you? What that you don't already know? Anna, you work right there beside Ro, so I can't even tell you anything because anything you also need to know, you can just ask Mr. Know-it-all, Ro Khan. Violetta, you do not know much, and I mean that sincerely and very warm-heartedly. So you have so much to learn and so much time because you're young. So good luck with that. Kevin, I know that one day you will be starving because you finally moved out of your parents' house and you love food. So I'm always there for you and food. And you know what my parting shot for you would be. Fear the bird. Jeff, here's a little tidbit for you and for Brian, too. When I say, hey guys, Brian and Jeff on the intercom, and you don't answer me right away, it is infuriating. So I swear to God, if I hear that you're still doing that for the next person, I will come back here and beat both of you. Oh, and one more thing, Jeff. Take that CLTV rundown, and you know where to put it. And finally, now that girl gone, one of you will have to take over and become the queen bee of news or ruse. I don't really see that happening. I think it's just going to always go around and around like a red robin and everyone's going to win because there will never be a queen bee like Judy. Goodbye, everyone. I love you guys to death.
You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Okay, that was priceless.
That's amazing.
Perfect.
That
song was the best.
Yeah.
I don't know anything.
You guys, you know I love you.
Yeah, we can
deep
tell.
Down, we
and
can
I
tell.
Will right. never forget you. And by that I mean, no.
Ever.
You will be with me forever.
Ever. And ever.
I know where you all live.
Yes. Because this is such an auspicious moment, we're going to have Andrea Darlis do the news at the bottom of the hour here.
I'm a little scared.
I would be.
Now to be
I know,
here.
I don't know, because she's between me and the door. I'm not quite sure what they do here.
Right? Wow.
All brought to you by Townstone Financial.
Still lying here, still loving me. I'm lying to you.
get my prescription filled. Tim Alkerband is here. They're going to go live with you in just, well, actually, right now, Jam is in Studio G.
Nice.
In the recording studio. He is ready to go. He's got, it's the band, it's Jam. Jam is an amazing story, and mm-hmm. you've been on the program before, and I appreciate you coming back and doing this with us, man, because you are one badass rock and roll fiend. You're a recovering addict and alcoholic, heroin addict, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And you used, and I think this is an amazing thing. I said this, and I wasn't kidding about it when I said it before. I mean, this is a real deal. There are so many people in the arts, especially people who have the creative mind, aren't quite sure if they fit in when they're kids, and they end up trying to self-medicate, and it just turns into this rolling ball of things. And how many have we seen come to very, very tragic ends?
Absolutely, too many.
And what you did is you used your recovery to your musical talent to actually aid in your recovery, right?
That's absolutely correct.
Because if you want to fill that hole, you got to fill it with your talent. And I think that's the one thing that you teach and that you have used for this. So there are people who are really struggling with this. There is a website people can go to. It's called Recovery Unplugged, recoveryunplugged.com. And you have great resources there. You have amazing stories as well.
Yeah, Recovery Unplugged is an amazing organization that I recently joined. It's a treatment center based in Florida as well as in Austin. We have one in Virginia. We just broke ground on one in Nashville. It is co-owned by one of the touring members of Aerosmith, Richie Supa. And we know about the substance use issues have run rampant throughout the years with Aerosmith. And Richie's story is similar to mine, in that once we found the healing power of music in our own recovery, we then made it our mission in life to go out and evangelize that healing power of music in treatment and recovery. So what he was doing in Florida was something very similar to what I was doing here in Chicago. So I'm really excited that I got the opportunity to join them and be able to share this message of mine with a larger group of people working with Recovery Unplugged.
Yeah,
so you've seen
thing.
The benefits of recovering through music. I want to ask you, though, it sounds like when you first found heroin, you put down your guitar rather than keep it with you.
Well, I put down everything. I put down everything, and the only thing that ended up mattering to me was heroin. And the reason being, like we talked about artists, and there's a lot of research that's been done on this, that people who are artists generally express themselves because they're a bit more sensitive. They feel things a little bit more deeply. And so we feel the pain maybe a little bit more intensely than some other people do. And we're taught that we're going to find that happiness through external means. So we go after it with a job, with money, with success, with relationships, but we still have that empty hole inside of us. So it's important in recovery to find out a way to fill that hole, because recovery is not just about stopping drinking or using drugs. It's about dealing with the underlying traumas, the underlying pains that manifest as addiction, that manifest as numbing behavior. We use this as a coping skill because we have no idea how to deal with that underlying pain. And the thing with music is that music is a direct superhighway from your brain to your heart and to your soul. And I was thinking about this as an example. When I was here last year, I was here the week after Tom Petty died. Yeah. And what did you ask me to do? You asked me to play a song to him as a tribute. Why did we do that? We did that as a way to celebrate. We did that as a way to grieve. This is an amazing example of how we use music to process these emotions.
Right.
And when we've been in our addictions, we've lost the ability to process these emotions. We've used drugs and alcohol as a way to cope with this pain. And we need a new way, right? There are 200 people a day dying from this epidemic in this country, 200 people per day. And there are a lot of people out there that are talking about the problem, and I applaud them for it. But I'm here to talk about the solution, and to me, the solution is music.
All right, we'll take it away. Jam Alker Band.
This is the first song that I wrote when I was in treatment 4 years ago. This song is called Please. Thank you.
myself.
And I've been crying out for help. Some days my head is darker than I said. And I've been carrying this weight, looking at myself with so much hate. Windows pane, so I was just about to break. So please God, remember, please God, remember. Why am I not full of strength? Why can't I just stop myself? Seems some days I've been lost, left in this place. So please God, remember. Please God, remember. Before I was lost in love to dig a hole and bury all his anger. I wanna know. Why we get buried under.
Elker Band, amazing.
So good.
All right, we'll come back with more music from the Jam Elker Band, but first, Andrea, what's coming up in the news?
Rookwood Mayor Emanuel will soon be called Professor. That story and much more coming up at 7.
CNN's Ryan Nobles checks in with the Steve Cochran Show Monday morning at 7:40 with the latest from our nation's capital.
All right, we have the Jam Elker Band with us. They've been with us before. They are amazing. They are rocking it harder than one could hope that one would rock anything. And they have, if you, one of the things, the most important part of what Jam Elker is all about and his band is all about, I should mention who's also in the band with him, Ryan Herrick, mm-hmm. Terry Byrne, and Tom Stuckel. Congratulations on this, because the
really
the
awesome
work is amazing. You can find, it's Jam, J-A-M-A-L-K-E-R, Jam Elker, find him, you know, anywhere you want to find them on the interwebs, mm-hmm. and where all fine music is bought or stolen mm-hmm. on the internet.
Yes.
Yeah. RecoveryUnplugged.com, though. Recovery Unplugged is a resource that a lot of people in the music and the arts can use to help find a sober path. and you're involved. You've been involved in this for years, but now you've teamed with Recovery Unplugged, and it's an amazing organization. So if you have you or you know someone who is struggling, especially a musical artist who's struggling with addiction, whether it's heroin as you were, Jam, or alcohol, or whatever it happens to be, Recovery Unplugged is a great resource for those folks.
Absolutely. And I would like to say 85% of our clients are not musicians, so this is about using music as a catalyst to get to those feelings. You don't have to be a music. Everybody loves music. Music is the international language. It helps everybody to heal.
All right. Thank you very much. Junkyard is the song. Here you go.
Absolutely. Here we go. Let's do it. Junkyard, baby.
Oh, we're gonna have some fun. Yeah, all right. That feels good. Oh, I like that. All right, here we go.
I'm falling apart. Well, I do believe this body is shot. No, my heart's good. If his knees and his stars, so take me to the junkyard and sell me for parts. Ow! Get up! Recollection of when I was on top, but I do not rightly recollect that job. Oh, but the ravages of gravity have left them all. So take me to the junkyard and sell me for parts. Take me to the junkyard, sell me for parts. Take me to the junkyard and sell me for parts. Take me to the junkyard and sell me for parts. Take me to the junkyard. You know.
Jem Alker Band. Wow.
Yeah.
That's, that is something. All right. We are not going to have enough time to play this in its entirety on the air. But start this now, and we'll record it, and we will definitely use it in the future. It'll be very good for everybody if we do this. You want to do one more?
Want to do one more?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, let's do it.
And don't be surprised when, in a minute or two, when we go to commercial, because we have to do it, because it's the rule. But here's a song. It's called Fixing the Wrong Fix.
Another song I wrote in treatment, Fixing the Wrong Fix. Soldiers